Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connectors turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then, playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Well, good evening. Hey, everyone. It's been a long weekend, great weekend, a very exciting weekend. And the weekend itself has been a great week as far as things going on here at the Parents Coach the Parents Network. I am your host, M.H. Cotton, welcoming you to another wonderful show. We're going to be some things this evening that hopefully you'll be able to share with your children later on in the week or throughout the week. If they're still up, and you have some teenage children, middle school age children, not the little babies, you may want them to listen to this show, because I got some folks that's going to come on here that's going to share some things that may be a huge eye-opener for them. Maybe a turning point in their athletic career. Maybe just that moment when they want to say, So, stay tuned for some great information this evening, some real insight, and some first-hand knowledge from some first-hand athletes. You want to join the conversation this evening? You can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. I'm going to get ready to bring up our guest here this evening. But before I bring up our guest, you know, I just want to give you some insight on you know, what we're going to be talking about this evening. How deep does your passion go? And I thought about that from a number of things. You know, I've known many of young athletes over the year that have went on to play at the high school level, went on to play at the collegiate level, and a few that even went on to play at the professional level. And I always wondered, you know, how deep does their passion really go? So instead of me just sitting here guessing and trying to figure it out, I figured we bring some athletes on and let them share that information with us. Us as listening parents, us as parents that have a stake in the game, us as parents that would really, truly be interested in finding out how we can best help our own children. Well, folks, like I said this evening, I have some athletes that's going to be joining us here shortly, and I'm going to bring them up and just let them chime in on the conversation. But let me tell you why I think this important, this show is important to you as a parent. You know, many times we disconnect, have this disconnect with our children. And having this disconnect, we don't quite know our role in the process of supporting them. Whether or not they're at the middle school level, whether or not they're at the high school level, whether or not they're at the collegiate level. And even more so if they are at, you know, the professional level. So I would say our role is very important in helping them understand and set a path for their future. Not for our future. Remember, let's not get that twisted, but for their future. Folks, before I bring up our athletes, I'm just going to give you a little promo from the NAIA, because there's a number of showcases that's coming up over the next few months that if your child decides he or she don't want to play in the NCAA's umbrella, under the NCAA's umbrella, then, again, you always have the NAIA route, and you also have the junior college route. So I'm going to run this little promo from NAIA, and then we'll be back.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, we're back. We're back. And like I was saying before our little infomercial break, I just wanted to let you know that you're going to get some information here this evening that I would like to see many of you share with your students, with your children. I can always join in on this conversation at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Well, enough of me running my mouth. I want to be able to bring our athletes up and make sure that they get their time to shine and share some insight. But I first want to share this with you. Here's one of the reasons why, or the first reason why I decided to do this show this evening. One of my former athletes, and you'll hear me talk very highly about this individual because I think she has done some phenomenal things in her life. She posted a letter up on social media. Let me read this letter to you. It says, "Dear Track and Field, I tried to give you up. Hasn't been a whole month, and I miss you like crazy. I thought I only loved you because of the years we spent together. But now I realize it was always real love." Now remember, this letter is being addressed to Track and Field. You're my soulmate. Sorry for the breakup with you. Forgive me. And then she concludes that with, I'm back. Or words to that effect. Or if that wasn't an eye-opener for me, if that wasn't something that we needed to talk about, if that wasn't a showpiece, show topic, a definite motivation for me to bring her up on this show and just simply find out why that conversation went in that direction. Folks, let me bring up this individual and let her share some insight with us on how this conversation or how this letter pulled itself together. Good evening, Tiffany. Welcome to the Perkins Network.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, young lady?
I'm good.
I'm good. Okay, you sounded kind of shy, kind of reserved. All right, are we going to have to crack a few jokes and get you to loosen up and speak up and talk to my audience this evening, or are you going to act like a reserved person?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Okay, I thought so. Okay. Well, talk about the letter first and foremost. Oh, no. First, tell us who you are.
Well, my name is Tiffany Ellick. I've been running track since I was 5 years old, and I ran in college, a couple of national titles, state titles. I went on to receive a full scholarship at North Carolina A&T, where I competed for 4 years. I just recently graduated in December, and now I'm planning on running professionally.
Excuse us. She's been running since she was 5 years old. 5 years old. Wow. You know, a lot of us can't even run for 5 minutes, and she's been running since she's 5 years old. Awesome. Awesome. Notice that she went straight through. She said from 5 years old to competing in college, she just let you know that she did it all. But she got straight to the meat of the program and started talking about the college life. Of course, she did it at the high school. She stood out there. Well, she did it at middle school where she stood out first. Then she went on to the high school where she continued to stand out, realizing that she still had that passion and that drive to make this a big part of her life. She continued on, pursued a college career, still out there doing her thing, and have been successful at it. Successful at it. You know, what's about this letter? I got to know more about this letter because this letter caught my attention.
Well, last May was the end of my collegiate career, and I had another year to run because I redshirted because I had foot surgery. But due to my graduation time in December and other things, I wasn't able to use my eligibility. So I just decided to start training to go pro since last May. And since I came home in December, started training with my coaches, trying to transition from college life back to, you know, living with my parents, back to being home in Virginia, getting acclimated to the weather, getting jobs. Like, it was just really overwhelming for me. And I kind of felt like, well, maybe I don't want to run track anymore. Like, maybe I've put all my years into it. You know, maybe it's time for me to focus on other things. And I pretty much decided to close that chapter in my life. But everybody kept coming to me, like, so are you going to the Olympics? Are you still training to go pro? Like, are you still doing this? Like, people really had high expectations for me in track and field, and so did I. And I just sat down one day, and I was praying. I was just like, you know what? I really do. This really is my dream to go to the Olympics. Like, this has been my dream since I was 5 years old. So it was more so of me convincing myself, reminding myself, going through old pictures, going through my medals, going through my trophy cases, going through letters from schools, for me to realize, like, I have what it takes. Like, I'm really right here. And at 22 years old, it's either you're going to do it or you're going to have regrets for the rest of your life. So after talking with my parents and my family, we just kind of made a mutual decision, like, this is what I'm going to do. And the letter, like, after you made that decision, I found that picture, and I was just going to post a regular caption, but as I started writing, I was like, nah, like, this is really how I feel. Like, I really tried to break up with you. Like, I really tried to break up with track and field, and it just wasn't happening. Like, it's in my heart. Like, that's what I love to do. That's my passion. So I'm not going to quit until I feel like I fulfill, you know, everything I can in that sport.
Wow. Wow. Folks, she that deep. That deep. When she went back and she did a full assessment, realized, okay, hey, it ain't going down just like that. It ain't just going to happen, you know, and all of a sudden you go your way, I go my way, you know, and then we think about old memories and that kind of stuff. No.
Yeah.
She said, I got to put some more into this. I got to go ahead and do this because it's in my heart. It's in my soul. It's a part of me. I love to do it. I'm having fun at it. Wow. Folks, you know, if that's not a testimony, then make sure that your children understand when they have that desire, when they have that burning urge to continue on, and they have a passion and a love for the sport. You know,
yeah.
And you continue. You know, I've said this time in and time out, over and over again. I tell my son the very same thing. You know, he's 28 years old now, and I say, hey, you keep playing until you stop having fun. If you're not having fun with it, hey, move on to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm.
And now see another athlete coming along, continue on with her passion because she's having fun. So tell me, why did you have this? You said you've been running since you were about five. Why
mm-hmm.
track? Why not soccer? Why not, you know, your brothers played soccer, one of them played a little football, and, you know, why not soccer? Why not, you know, basketball? Why not some other sport?
I actually have done every sport under the sun pretty much, and I've excelled at every sport. Like, I started off with soccer, and I did basketball. And then one day I was at the track at my brother's soccer practice, and I saw a team working out, and I was like, Mom, I want to do that. Like, I want to run track. And even while I was running track, I still played basketball. I still, you know, did other sports and everything. But I picked track because track is the longest sport. Like, I got offers in college to play basketball as well, but I chose to play track because in track you have indoor season, you have outdoor season, you have summer track. You can train all year round. And I love competing. Like, I love doing something. I love being active. So, like, hey, a sport I can do all year long, like, what? Yeah, track and field it is.
Wow. Just that easy, because it's all year round. It's something that she loved to do. Track was her thing. She's having fun at it. So why give it up if she's having fun at it? It's been a passion. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we ain't talking about no every day. She's a natural. From the first time I seen her out there on the track, I realized she had that naturally gifted talent that can take her to wherever she wants to go. She's a natural. She's a natural. We've had some good days. We've had some bad days. But in the end,
yeah. She
came back from it. She came back stronger and then kept on moving.
Mm-hmm.
Kept on. I think it came from eating them old-fashioned hamburgers. Oh, you laughing now? Was it funny I just said? Folks, I got to laugh. We were in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the AAU Junior Olympics. I don't even remember what year it was, but it was some time ago. All right. And she was still very, very, very young. I think she was in middle school. And I don't even know if she was in middle school. But anyway, we were at the AAU Junior Olympics, Knoxville, Tennessee, on the campus of UTC, Chattanooga, or whatever campus we was on. Anyway, And I tried to convince her that that restaurant that we seen right in front of us that had that big name on it called Wendy's was called Old-Fashioned Hamburgers. We went back and forth with that argument all the way down the street as we looked at this restaurant. She said it was named Wendy's. I said, no, it's called Old-Fashioned Hamburgers. And that's just ever since. That's just a little inside joke with a old-fashioned hamburger. Yep. She probably still eating them old-fashioned hamburgers. Well, hopefully not. Yeah. If she's in now, she probably going to push them to the side.
Yeah, I don't really eat hamburgers too much.
Oh, okay. I understand why. You know, especially the old-fashioned too much for you. You know, your arteries probably clog up around.
Right.
Anyway, all right, tell us a little bit more about as you transition from starting at the age of five into finally getting involved in middle school and realizing that, well, you've already talked about how much of a passion it was, but realizing mm-hmm. that you actually stood out, not just a passion, not just something that you love to do, but you actually realize that you stood out. Give us a little.
Honestly, this is going to sound like crazy, but honestly, I never realized how good I really was until probably my senior year of high school. Because even though I placed every year at Junior Olympics, and I competed every year at the Junior Olympics on like a national level, I honestly just felt like everybody was good at track. Like, I felt like everybody always won. Like, everybody always wins the gold medal. And over time, you grow immune to winning. Like, that's what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm supposed to get a gold medal. I'm supposed to win a trophy. I'm supposed to set records. So it got to the point where it's like, this is no longer, like, I'm no longer, I'm only impressed when I'm setting records. Like, gold medals didn't do it for me. Winning a first place ribbon didn't do it for me. Like, my goals were set higher and higher and higher. But transitioning to middle school, I still never felt that good, even though I was winning. Then even in high school, I mean, it wasn't easy. Like, I wasn't always winning because in middle school, I pulled two hamstrings. So I took a year off. When I came back from the year off, I was in ninth grade, and I was terrible. Like, after taking a year off of no running, no anything, like, I was getting smoked. Like, I was not winning anything. Then finally, my 10th grade year, I transferred, and, like, a switch went off. Like, my hunger just came back from what I had when I was younger. I didn't have any more injuries. The injuries I did had, I just ended up fighting through it. And when I got to high school, my goal was to get a full scholarship. Like, once I set goals for myself, that's all I see. I don't see the obstacles. I don't see what I can't do, what things are my way. All I see is my goal. Like, that's all I see. So from 7th grade up to 12th grade, all I saw was full scholarship. Like, full scholarship. So it was like, if I'm not doing what I need to do to get that full scholarship, if I'm not running fast enough, if my grades aren't good enough, then I push myself. Like, my parents pushed me as well, but I pushed myself. So my senior year, when I went online and I checked the national rankings, and I was ranked top five in the nation at pretty much all my events, and we had set a plethora of national records and had three national rings and 6 state titles, it was then when I looked back. And I'm like, wow, all these years, I was really good. Like, I've always been really, really good. But it was just that I had my expectations set so high for myself. I never had time to really look around and really praise myself, I guess, because my parents are so humble. Like, they're not the parents that's going to be in the crowd, cheering me on all out, because they have, you know, they're used to seeing me win, too. So we're all used to seeing me win. So it was kind of like, that's what Tiffany's going to do. Tiffany's going to win. Tiffany's going to set a record. Okay, Tiffany won again. You know, so to us, it was normal. Like, it was just normal. Until my senior year, when I started getting letters from all schools all over the country offering me full scholarships, it was then when I was like, wow, like, I'm really good. So I guess it took 12 years for me to figure that out.
Wow. And folks, let me tell you, the family she's talking about, you know, not only her mother and her father, but her two brothers as well, you know, they are the most wonderful people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting since I've been here in this area. And down to earth folks, not folks that walk around here with this ego, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and you can't talk to them. You know, her dad and I, we've had some heart-to-heart man conversations, you know, because he had two boys, I had two boys, and, you know, hey, just great folks, great folks. And matter of fact, just tell them I said hi if they're listening. Hey, how you doing? But definitely some down-to-earth folks. And that's where she brings in that humility, being that humble athlete that she is, and understanding the importance of just going out there, putting in the work. And you mentioned something, and you touched on something here. I want you to give us a little bit more of, because most of our folks that's listening to this show are normally parents, and very few athletes chime in on the conversation. But I do have a few parents I'm looking at now that's on the line with us. You know, what role did your parents play in helping you get through all the things that you went through? You know, even down to your injuries, recovering from your injuries, getting back involved. You know, were they pushing you? Were they, you know, just there to support you? You know, what role did they play?
My parents actually played the biggest role in any sport that I've ever done, especially track and field, because they've invested so much time, and that's another reason why I decided that I had to keep running track, because my parents invested too much time, too much money, too many years in my dream for me to just throw my dream away or to close that chapter in my life. But even when I decided to run track, I came to my parents. They didn't come to me like, Tiffany, you're fast, you run track. It was more so, Mom, these kids are running. I want to do that too. Even if I came to them, like, one time I came to my dad, like, hey, Dad, I want to do boxing. I mean, it's so many things that I've wanted to do as a person because I just do so many things. Like, my parents have always been in my corner, supported me 100%. Like, I remember times when my dad, when I decided I wanted to play basketball, my dad would never let me do a sport and not try to teach me something about that sport. Even when he didn't know about soccer with my brother, my dad researched soccer. Like, he looked at games. Like, he did certain things to try to help my brother. He talked to coaches trying to help him out. Like, my parents did so many things when it came to traveling, when it came to my injuries. They nursed me back to health. Like, they're always very positive, always in my corner. And they were never overbearing, you know. No matter how good I was, they always reminded me, like, track is what you do. You're not running track for us. You're running track for you. Like, if you want to quit, you want to stop running track, that's fine. Like, we're not, like, our lives are going to keep going. We're not going to be disappointed in you. But they always made me feel like I was doing it for fun. Like, track was never my job. Like, it was never a task. I was never hassling them. Even if practice was 45 minutes away, my mother drove me to Suffolk every day from Norfolk to Suffolk every day after school to go practice for AAU every single day after school. That's like a there and back. That's like a 40, basically an hour drive every day she's doing that. Like, and my parents never complained, never asked me for anything, never asked me to win anything, never asked me to shout them out. Like, they legit were the people in the background doing all the technical work, like all the mechanical work, like I was a robot. Like, when I got down, I came to them. When I lost the race, I came to them. When I won a race, I came to them. If I had an injury, I came to them. Like, if I was upset about something, I came to them. Like, they got me my, like, you know, I used to get my individual uniforms, you know, my hair, color, everything. Like, my parents pretty much supported me 2,000%. Like, I could not express that enough. If I did not have parents to support me, it's been so many times when I call my parents crying. Like, I want to quit. Like, especially in college, because college is a whole other type of competing, like, when it comes to any level, any sport. Like, college is totally different because college is a business. Called them, a plethora of me. Like, I want to transfer. I don't want to be here. Like, I'm doing bad. And they always stay positive, always convince me, you know, that I'm doing the right thing. Like, just keep working hard. Just keep doing this. Just keep doing that. Even when I had surgery on my feet and I was redshirting, and I didn't know if I was going to be that good when I came back, still pushing me to go to be better. My senior year, I had knee surgery. I didn't think I was going to be able to go to any school because I'm a jumper and a hurdler. Your knees are very detrimental. They still pushed me, took me to therapy every week. They took me to chiropractors in high school. You know, like my parents, without my parents, I would not even have received a full scholarship or even be running track to this day. Like, and I think parents don't realize how much of a role they really play. Like, it's more than just dropping your kids off at practice. It's being there, watching your kids practice, critiquing your kids, helping your kids, motivating your kids. You know, you're not just a spectator. You're like a mini coach as well if you're a parent. So my parents were very, very, very detrimental in my track career.
Wow. Totally awesome. Parents, take note. Take note. Again, if you want to join the conversation, 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Hey, so we're going to take a little quick break, get a chance to find out who else we got here on the line, and we're going to come back and continue on this show. You good with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, just stand by.
The game had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Okay, folks, we're back. We're back, and we've been having a great conversation with this young lady, Miss Tiffany Ellick, who has went on to play at the collegiate level, participated, I shouldn't say play, participated in the track and field, and now she's out training professionally and getting ready to do her thing at the professional level. So keep your eyes and ears open, folks, because I think she's going to be one of those ones that we're going to be looking at and cheering on in the next upcoming Olympics. Well, folks, I found out that I had another great young athlete on with us as well, and I'm going to bring him up for a minute, and then I'm going to bring Tiffany back, and then we're going to see how we can wrap this thing up. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Are you on the line, sir? Hello, welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Well, I guess my other guest got a little gun-shy. Didn't want to speak up. But again, you want to join in on the conversation, 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Let's go on back to our first guest because I know she's there. She's ready. Miss Tiffany Ellis, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, when you start talking about preparing yourself and getting your mind right, now that you realize that you do have that passion and you're not going to just let that breakup be just a regular old breakup, you're going to pull this thing off and get it back on track and everything else. As an athlete, you said you already prepared your mind. What are some, you know what, I want to ask this question, and then we're going to try to figure out how to help young athletes move forward. You talked about you experienced a injury your freshman year, correct?
My freshman year. Yeah, I had a lot of injuries. It depends on which one.
Okay, but even still, talking about how you recovered from that injury and where were you at, not, you know, what type of physical therapy you did, but where was your mind recovery from, you know, what are your injuries? And focus saying, you know, that I'm going to get out here and continue on. I already know where my mark is at, and this is where I need to, you know, get back to that, at least get back to that level. Or was you pushing yourself to go further, or were you just settling for whatever you got out of your workout?
Well, actually, that question is funny because I'm not going to say I get injured all the time, but I've had a lot of serious injuries where I needed surgery, and every single injury I've had, I always call my best friend, I text my best friend, like, yo, I'm so mad that I'm hurt right now, like, you know, just feeling really down, and she always says, every time you get injured, you know you come back 10 times harder, 10 times faster, and that's really how it is because I'm very competitive. So I don't like being, like, watching people compete when I can't compete, like, downtime, not being able to work out. So every day I'm injured, every day I can't work out, every day I was recuperating from my surgery. Because my senior year of high school, I was getting so many letters from so many schools, so many offers. And I found out the August before my senior year that I needed knee surgery, which is very critical for me, being that I do triple jump, I do long jump, I do hurdles, I do sprints, I do high jump sometimes. So, you know, your knees are very important. And I honestly didn't know how schools would react knowing that I had a knee surgery. So I tried to keep it low-key, and they told me it would take about 3 months to recover. Mind you, indoor season starts in December. So if I can't train for 3 months, that means I can't start training again until November. So I just had my mind set. Like I said, I wanted full scholarship. I knew what top schools I wanted. And I wasn't going to let anything. I'm very strong. I'm very tough. I'm very competitive. It's not a lot of things you can tell me that I can't do. And when you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to find a way to prove to you that I can do it. And when I do it, I'm going to look at you and say, look, I did it. So, for me, nothing is an obstacle for me. Like, nothing is too high. No injury is too big. No pain is too much. I'm going to reach my goals. So, when I was hurt, I expected myself to still win state. I still expected to win regionals and districts and go to nationals. And I did. I ended up jumping my first meet in January, actually. Like, I went extra hard in physical therapy. I went extra hard in practice. And honestly, I was very nervous because, you know, when you come back from a surgery, physically you're fine, but mentally you're still scared to jump. Like, you know, you're still scared to do certain things. So once I got over the mental part, like, I don't know. Like, when I get injured, it just takes me to another level. I can't even explain it. Like, it just makes me more hungry.
Wow. Now, what she just explained, folks are getting paid thousands of dollars to develop mental toughness, to help athletes develop mental toughness. She pulled it out of herself, realized that, hey, the sky's the limit. I'm going to go out here and do this thing. I have this hunger for it. I have this passion for it. So watch out, world. Here I come. Boy, it must have been something for real in them old-fashioned hamburgers. That put all that I'm so serious. Man, that's awesome. And I kid you not, I've sat in many seminars and workshops and listened to the lecturer talk about mental toughness and talk about how athletes can go through this mental toughness process where they learn how to overcome obstacles, especially when they come back from injuries and stuff like that. This is something that you developed and put in play for yourself because of what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that in itself speaks volume for your level of your work ethic. That speaks volume for your level of confidence and passion for what you are doing. So as you prepare to move forward and you get out there and start training, what are some of the tips that you would give an athlete, you know, and they decide that they're going to try to move on to the next level? Moving from middle school to high school, high school to college, what's some of the tips that you would give them in that type of transition? And then we're going to talk about making that move from college, trying to get into the professional ranks.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing from to high school is, well, my motto is what I tell everybody that knows me, everybody that has been around me, nobody's going to do it for you. That's just point blank, period. Your parents don't step on that court. Your parents don't step on that track. Your parents don't step on that field. Your friends don't get in that jersey for you. It's all you. Whether you win, whether you fail, you can only look at yourself. Like, you can only look at yourself. If you know that you need to be waking up before school, working out, get, like, doing extra stuff after practice to work out, doing stuff on your own, watching videos, reading books. If you really, really, really want to be great, you're going to be great. You're not going to make excuses. Like, you just have to get to a point where you really say, like, either I'm going to do it or it's not going to get done. Like, if you really want to go pro or you really want to get to college or you really want to make that varsity team, even make the team point blank period, you're going to put that extra work in. Because if you don't, then you're just talking because deep down inside you really don't want it. Because if you really do want it, you're going to wake up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning before the sun is even up, before your competition is even thinking about working out, and you're going to get it done. Like, if you're going to the next level, point blank period, your ethic, your work ethic, your where you are mentally, everything has to go to another level. Because middle school to high school, that's a whole other playing field. Like, that's a whole other different size, different skill level, different everything. And when I went from middle school to high school, I played varsity basketball. I never played JV. And that wasn't because I was just so great or because I wasn't that good in my eyes. But my dad got me up every morning, went to the YMCA at 5 o'clock in the morning, left-hand shooting, right-hand jumping, left-hand dribbling, right-hand dribbling, about 100 free throws every morning before I went to school to lift weights for track. Like, I did two sports at the same time. Like, I left a state track meet and went to a regional basketball game. It's all about how bad you really want it. Like, that's my answer. How bad do you want it?
Wow. And enough said on that. Is how bad do you want it? And, you know, at the same time, the athlete has to be able to, Parents, let me tell you this. The athlete has to go along with that program. You know, as she said, you know, her dad got her up. They did their 100 free throws, shots, left hand, right hand, whatever. They worked on the different skill set, working through all that. And if she didn't really want to do it, then it would have been wasted time. But she had that passion. She had that desire. And she trusted that her dad was working towards helping her fulfill her dream. And as a result, it turned out to be a miracle that it is today. It turned out to be a miracle that it is today. So as you prepare for your next life at the professional rank, what are some mm-hmm. of the things that you would prepare with a high school athlete or a college athlete as they get ready for trying to move on to that professional level? Is it as simple as you wake up one day and say, hey, well, I'm going to go professional. I'm going to the next Olympic trials, and I'm going to be there.
I wish that was the case. I would have been there.
Okay.
But no, it takes strategic planning. Like, at this point, you're not working out just to work out. Like, at this point, you aren't doing this for fun. You have to see this, like, I'm doing this to eat. I'm doing this to pay my bills. Like, you have to put yourself in that mindset. Even though I have a wonderful house, I have a wonderful family. Like, you know, I don't have anything that I really need or I really want. But I put myself in that mindset. If I don't get on this track, if I don't go hard, I'm not going to eat. My family is not going to eat. I'm not going to eat. This pays my bills. That's the difference between college and professional. It's no longer, like, professional means that's your profession, as in that's your job. So if I work for, like, a corporate company, or if I work for the government, or if I was in the military, I'm going to take my job very seriously. I'm going to get to work on time. I might even have to take work home sometime. I have to wake up extra early to go to work. But this is my craft. Like, it's no longer I'm doing this for fun. I'm doing this for my coach, doing this for my parents. No. Like, you're trying to go professional. Like, that's where I am now. I'm reprogramming my mind. Like, this is the phase I'm in right now. Reprogramming my mind from college to professional. Like, in college, you can lose a race here and there. Or, you know, you can slack off a little bit here in the weight room. You can be a little sluggish this day. But professionally, no, everybody's trying to be professional. Everybody's waking up early and working out. Everybody's eating right. Everybody's going extra hard. Like, you know, it's nobody that's professional right now that's really slacking. So, like, you have to just remember, it's not just you anymore. It's really everybody in the country, everybody in the world is trying to get this one spot. So it's just pretty much, like I said, reprogramming your mind from it being a hobby or being something fun that you do. So this is my career. Like, it's something I want to do for the next couple of years, you know?
Wow. You talk about a determined individual, folks. We're listening at a young lady that has a mindset and has the determination to go out there and do some great things. And we truly appreciate that. We truly appreciate it. I thought you know, once you graduated from college. Matter of fact, when you graduated, what did you major in? We never did ask that question.
Pre-physical therapy.
Pre-physical therapy?
Yes.
So you rehabbing yourself now?
Yeah, now I am.
Hey, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, that's awesome. You know, that's a huge plus when you know the different things that your body's going through. You know how to prevent that. You know how to do some preventive maintenance on certain areas to make sure that you don't get to this point or that point or whatever, and get the right in to make sure that you don't re-injure a particular area. Hey, that's awesome. That is awesome. That is something in itself, you know. Well, I want you to give, fair to wind down here, probably got about another 10 more minutes or so, but I want you to give our young athletes about 5 good tips or 3 good tips. Not putting too many pressures on you. 3 good tips, and if you got more, hey, go for it, on just staying focused, you know, because I understand there's a whole lot of distractions that young athletes nowadays. You know, you got the boyfriends, you got the girlfriends, you got the social media, you got, you know, all the other things, you got your fashion. You got all these things that come. You got to keeping up with your music, whether or not you got the phone going on right. All these things coming. Give me some tips on how to stay focused as a young athlete that parents can even share with the athletes, or those athletes that go back and listen to us later on realize, hey, you know, I can really and truly think about that.
Okay, well, the first thing I want to touch on, what you said about the girlfriends, the boyfriends, I just feel like, and I know from experience, looking back on my years in college, dating while doing your sport at the time, you don't feel like it's a distraction. No, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, no, like they don't do this. They don't distract me. They don't. They do. They are a major distraction, like major distraction. How can you give 100% to your sport, to your craft, and then give someone else 100%? That's 200%. I don't think we all have 200%. I think we just get 100%. And we're young. Like you're young. You have the rest of your life to do relationships and to argue, and to bicker, and to text. So the first thing I would say is relationships. If you really, but and that's where I am now. Like looking back, like wow, I really wasted a lot of time, a lot of energy. And this is from experience. It's not for me giving you my opinion. This is legit from experience. Like relationships really drain you and drain your time more than you think. So that would be the first thing I think would be to check your relationship. The second thing I would say is your circle, like your friends that are around you. All my friends around me right now, either they're in college, like running really fast, or they're working really good jobs. Like I don't have any friends that aren't good at in sports or, you know, aren't. We all are focused on the same thing. We all are going in the same direction. I don't have any friends that's trying to get me to go out, go to the club, trying to get me to do all this. No, like if your friends around you are focusing on what you're focusing on, getting up, grinding, practicing, working hard, getting to the next level, then you might want to look at your circle, because if you're not focused on the same thing, once again, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your energy, and it's going to nothing but slow you down to getting to where you need to be. So I would say relationships. And then another very important thing I would say is your grades. Like, I know we're not talking about grades or anything, but if you don't have grades, you're pretty much not going anywhere. You're not getting into any college. You're definitely not graduating college with bad grades. So, as a whole athlete, on the court, on the field, on the track, yeah, that could be all great. But if in the classroom, you're not doing what you're supposed to do, but once again, you're hanging around friends that's not doing what they're supposed to do, there's really no point in you doing your sport because you're not going to be able to do your sport for long. So relationships, your friends, your circle around you, and your grade, those are the three things, the quickest ways to lose your sport forever, like forever. So I feel like those three things are pretty much the things that you, like, I feel like athletes in general have to adjust. I know for me, like in track, if I saw my performance was declining, or my grades were declining, not because I was saying it was because of my boyfriend at the time or because of my friends around me. They weren't focused. We weren't focused. So I think those are like the main three things that I can think of, like off the top of my head.
Those are three great things. Those are nuggets that every parent should be able to share with their young athlete, or every athlete should be able to take heed of that and understand the value of those three things. And understanding that, you know, just like you said, looking at your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it may be, and your inner circle, the folks that you're hanging around with, and last but not least, but, you know, you could have put them in any order, looking at your grades, what are you doing academically? What are you doing in the classroom? If you're just going through the motions and you're not passing or you're barely passing, then, you know, that's going to affect what you're going to be able to do on the field, on the court, on the track, wherever. So on that note, did you give up? Now, see, this is where I'm going to surprise. Did you give up a video on how to get the hair right?
How to get my hair right?
Well, I don't know. I seen some videos where you were showing this is some good texture hair, and I got this from. Follow you that closely, huh? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well,
what's
yeah, I found it right here.
What's wrong?
Nothing, you're funny.
You gave that up?
Yeah, for a little while.
You gave up your hair commercials?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hey. It was funny because just so happened, I was at the rec center one day, and, you know, Travis's mom, Miss Corbett, Travis Corbett.
Yeah, well, I can picture Travis.
Okay. Well, anyway, his mom worked at the rec center with him, and we were talking about it. And she couldn't remember what you looked like. So I went on and I Googled your name to see if a picture would pull up. And it pulled up a little commercial that you had done about the hair, about purchasing hair and how to put it in and another and all that kind of stuff and how many times you're going to wash it. And we actually sat there and watched a couple of them. And I was like, I'm like, okay, I know she didn't go to school to learn how to do hair, but she's sitting here giving a commercial. You know, she's in the business. So that was that. I said the next time I get a chance to talk to her, I got to bring this up, how she obtained all the knowledge about the hair industry. I thought you were going in for a minute there. So that's where that came from. But we definitely you taking the time out of your schedule, and hopefully we didn't keep you up training. I know you got to get up and get that grind on early in the morning. Hopefully we haven't kept you up too late and disturbed your training regimen, and make sure that you staying on top of your game. But we truly appreciate you coming on and just sharing your insight and your experience with us and, you know, the parents that's listening here, and evidently I don't see any of them raising their hand like they had a question, so I didn't bring nobody in with any questions this evening. But to know this, you're always, always, always welcome back, and I will promise I won't have any more jokes. Nah, I can't even say that. I will minimize the jokes and will not the full things that we ever discuss, or I wouldn't say grandma or none of that stuff. I will keep it, as you would say, I will keep it 100 and make sure that nobody asks us later on, what are y'all talking about? So, as you go through and prepare yourself for that professional career and track and field, you want to come back on and share some things about where you're at, what you're doing, what events you got coming up. Hey, the door is wide open for you anytime. Anytime. Always. I put on there you my shero because I believe that. All right? Thanks, Tiff.
Thank you.
Hey, you have a great evening. Well, folks, we've been talking to a great athlete that's on the move, that's getting ready to do some phenomenal things over the next few years. I want you to Miss Tiffany Ellick. I promise you, you'll hear that name again. You'll hear that name again on ESPN, Fox Sports, or one of these major sports networks, on some of the things that she's going to get out there and accomplish over the next few years. If not, you call in and you tell me that I was wrong on this day. Not. It ain't going to happen. So, appreciate all the things that she shared with us this evening, and more importantly, things that she shared as far as parent involvement. Folks, we have to be a part of that process. We have to be a supportive part of that process. As you listen to this young lady, and she told us about the struggles that she went through, the injuries that she went through, and she recovered, you know, the times that she had some questions on whether or not she wanted to continue to do it, she always family. The family assured her, hey, if you want to do it, you do it. If you don't want to do it, hey, we got your back either way. I'm telling you, folks, we have to have that understanding as parents. It's not an optional thing. It's not a questionable thing. It's not a sometime thing.
our commitment has to be committed to their ability to move forward. Our commitment has to be a sincere commitment in order for them to benefit from it. We can't be committed sometime and then other time, well, you need to find your own ride to practice. Really? Really, parents? All right, folks, you've been listening to the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, M.H. Scott. As always, I told y'all I was going to promise you another wonderful show. Well, on this note, we're going to prepare to wind down. So until the next time, make sure you have yourself ready. You know, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. Again, we'll see you next Sunday night. Same time, same place, same channel, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time here on the Parents Coach the Parents Network with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith, you got anything for us to take us away with? Uh-oh, can't find Keith. There he is. Take us away, Keith.